What is the difficulty is the basic question. What is the difficulty that people have with prayer? Why is prayer, sustainable prayer, so difficult? And I'm sure it's as difficult for monastics as it is for lay people, maybe in a different way. But why is it difficult? That is the essential question. What I've begun to learn from Theophan the recluse is that part of the difficulty has to do with two things, attitude and altitude. Attitude and altitude. It is our attitude that will have a tremendous bearing on the altitude of our prayer. And for most of us, we do not think of altitude as far as prayer. We have an expectation that is far too low for the actual thing we are doing. And we get into an attitude about prayer that Saint Isaac of Assyrian would call the attitude of a slave. He says there's the attitude. There are two things. There are two aspects of approach to a prayer. There's the approach to a prayer of the prayer of the slave, and the approach to a prayer of the liberated man. And too often we think that if we complete the requisite cycle of prayers, which we should do, that if we complete, we have accomplished prayer. And Saint Theophan the recluse, both in the Art of Prayer and in several lectures that he has given on prayer that you can find online, 4 lectures on prayer, he says something entirely different. He says, for example, that what we think of prayer is not really prayer. What we think of prayer is just getting ready for prayer. He says in one of his homilies that you stand before your icon in your cell or at home, your icons, and you say prayers and you do this and various things that you do. He said, that's not prayer. He said, that is just preparing for prayer. That's getting ready. You go to church. You come inside the doors of the church and you kiss the icons and you listen to the divine liturgy or you listen to the psalms and so on. He said, that's not prayer. That is preparing. That's getting ready. That's not really prayer. So what is really prayer? This was the question I asked him myself. So, quoting something that Saint Theophan writes. He says this. Now we're back to recognizing attitude and altitude, and they are reciprocal. They relate to one another very directly. Our prayer reflects our attitude to God. And our attitude to God is reflected in prayer. And since this attitude is not identical in different people, so the kind of prayer is not identical either. He who is careless of salvation has a different attitude to God from him who has abandoned sin and is zealous for virtue, but has not yet entered within himself and works for the Lord only outwardly. Finally, he who has entered within and carries the Lord in himself, standing before him, has yet another attitude. The first man is negligent in prayer, just as he is negligent in life. And he prays in church and at home, merely according to the established custom, without attention or feeling. The second man reads many prayers, often goes to church, trying at the same time to keep his attention from wandering and to experience feelings in accordance with the prayers, which are read, although he is very seldom successful. The third man, wholly concentrated within, stands with his mind before God and prays to him in his heart without distraction, without long verbal prayers, even when standing for a long time at prayer in his home or in church. And now comes the key. Now comes the key thing he's saying here. Take away oral prayer from the second man, and you will take away all prayer from him. Impose oral prayer on the third, and you will extinguish prayer in him by the wind of many words. That's powerful. Many of us, especially beginners in the spiritual life or in monasticism, are like the first man, praying according to the established custom, without much attention or feeling. Some more experienced may have progressed to the level of the second man, struggling while at prayer, especially during the hours, to keep their attention from wandering and attempting to experience feelings in accordance with the Psalms and other prayers as they are read, but are not often successful, or are not successful for very long in controlling their attention. It is not always clear to many of us, even with many years of experience, how to become like the third man, concentrated within, standing before God with his mind in his heart and praying without distraction. St. Theophan says something else. He says, without inner spiritual prayer, there is no prayer at all. For this alone is real prayer, pleasing to God. What then is prayer? He continues. Prayer is the raising of the mind and heart to God in praise and thanksgiving to him, in supplication for the good things that we need, both physical and spiritual. That's from the Art of Prayer, page 53. Let's compare this definition of prayer with one by Archimandrite Sofroni Sakharov, which you find in the big book on Saint Silouan, the Athenite. He says, prayer is creation, the loftiest form of creation, creation par excellence, which makes prayer infinitely diverse. Nevertheless, it is possible to distinguish different modes depending on the situation or the orientation of the main spiritual powers of the one who is praying. By that, he means the threefold soul, the powers. Now we're dealing with the spiritual psychology of the prayer of the heart, of noetic prayer, the idea that the threefold soul, the noetic insensitive faculty and the desiring faculty. In this respect, prayer corresponds with the stages of the normal development of the human spirit. The first impulse of the mind is outward bound. The second is a return to itself, and the third, ascent toward God through the inner man. Now, these ideas, these definitions of prayer are rooted in the scriptures and in the experience of the elders themselves. And if we go back to really the beginning of the Philokalia in the 4th century, there is a definition of prayer. You can find it in volume 1. And this became, in a way, the guiding spirit of this whole endeavor. Prayer is a conversation of the mind, the word nous, the mind with God. And then comes the question. So what kind of state, what kind of mental state is needed? If the mind is to be capable of reaching out unwaveringly toward its own Lord in converse with Him without any intermediary. That's the question. To me, that was the absolute question of understanding the ladder of prayer. What kind of mental state is needed if the mind is capable, the soul is capable of reaching out unwaveringly to its own Lord and converse with Him? Conversation of the soul with God. Now listen to step 28, or the first part of step 28, St. John of the Ladder. You know, in light of what we just said, attitude, altitude, and how they relate, this is what St. John says about prayer. This is the complete definition. This is it. Prayer, by reason of its nature, is the converse or conversation and union of man with God, and by reason of its action, upholds the world and brings about reconciliation with God. It is the mother and also the daughter of tears, the propitiation for sins, a bridge over temptation, a wall against afflictions, a crushing of conflicts, a work of angels, the food of all the bodiless spirits, future gladness, unending activity, a source of virtues, a means of obtaining graces, invisible progress, food of the soul, enlightenment of the mind, an axe against despair, a demonstration of hope, a cure for sorrow, the wealth of monks, the treasure of Hesychast, the reduction of anger, the mirror of progress, the disclosure of stature, an indication of one's condition, a revelation of future things, and a sign of glory. For him who truly prays, prayer is the court, the judgment hall, and the tribunal of the Lord before the judgment to come. Wow. That to me, everything is there. Look at a mirror of progress, the disclosure of stature, an indication of one's condition. If you want to know where you stand in the spiritual life, in the way with God, how is your prayer? It used to be that the ancients, the monks, when they greeted each other, they didn't say hello. The Chinese, when they greeted each other, back in the old days, they used to say ni chirma, which means have you eaten. That was the condition, because you know things were in trouble. It was have you eaten. The greetings the monks used to ask each other is how is your prayer. How is your prayer? As a hello, how is your prayer? That was the initial greeting. Now there's a lot that can be done here. I'm going to have to skip some of this. But it's interesting that St. John is actually using an essence energy understanding of prayer. He says, prayer by reason of its nature, that's its essence, is the conversation of man with God that leads to union or theosis. But prayer, by reason of its action, that's its energy, is supplications and all the various things that we learn about, that what prayer is. It brings about reconciliation with God, not just morally, but ontologically. Not just morally, but ontologically. If we approach a prayer morally only, we are praying like in a Protestant manner, which is to say that we are praying, looking over our shoulder for God's favor, for God to favor. Because in the Protestant tradition, grace is understood as God being favorable to us despite our complete corruption. That he covers over our sin by his good favor because we are doing what he wants us to do. Whereas in the Orthodox tradition, which understands energy as in a truly real way, ontologically, grace is an energy. And It is an uncreated energy. And it is an energy that brings about reconciliation. So that when St. Seraphim says, draw down the Holy Spirit or acquire the Holy Spirit, it's really the acquisition of the grace of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will pray in us. So that's the question of attitude and altitude.